Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen and the Bills. Now we'll have Anderson, the center. 23rd career game for Alec Anderson. He'll snap it to Allen. Now here's the pressure and the sack. Oh, my goodness. Josh Allen turned around, and there were three bad men in black shirts, Arch. D. Alford was there. My goodness, Diablo was there. A row again.
On the field as the quarterback's forward progress was stopped. Fourth down.
It is a Victory Tuesday here on the Morning Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8:05 a.m. Mike, Ali, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you here just celebrating all day. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Wake-up call just a few minutes away. Make sure you get your phone calls in. 404-726-0929. Ali just talked about it just a minute ago. We are celebrating. Tell us what your favorite play was last night. Which one was it? Was it the Bashan run? Was it Tyler Algier trucking somebody? Was it Drake getting the throw to the inside shoulder? Was it the D. Alford interception? Tell us what your favorite play was, 404-726-0929.
And here's what you need to know before you clock in this morning. The Hawks beat the Heat last night, 119-118 in the preseason. Game two of the ALCS. Mariners beat the Blue Jays. 10-3. Game three is tomorrow in Seattle. Dodgers beat the Brewers in Milwaukee 2-1 for the first game of the NLCS. Game two is tonight at 8:08. The Chicago Bears beat the Commanders by a field goal, 25-24 last night. Of course, yes, the win that we're just marinating in all day long. 24-14, Falcons took down Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, putting them at 3-2 for the season.
We're rolling around in it. I'm so far in the weeds that, like, when I talk about my favorite play, it was a meaningless, like, 9-yard gain. Not meaningless, but that final drive, it was a 9-yard gain. And it shouldn't be my favorite play, but it was because of what you see. We talked about the wrap play that Tyler Algier scored on a couple weeks ago against Washington, where we used to call it key in Mike Mularkey's offense, where the lead blocker and the running back wrap around the quarterback and go to the backside of the offense. That play was run yesterday to Bijan Robinson of like an 8 or 9 yard gain, and it was run off Michael Jarrell, the left tackle. He was struggling to get his head front side on some of the wide zones when he was on the backside of wide zone. So what did Zach Robinson do? He put Michael Jarrell up to bat, and he says, look, we're just going to run back the other direction. You pin the guy down. You don't have to get your head across. Just block him down toward the middle of the formation. We'll wrap around the backside. Ended up in a 9 yard gain. So I know that that's like such a small thing. It just brings, like you talked about, Ali, it's just a twinkle in my eye, man. I'm just like, that is such a beautiful thing to notice that Michael Jarrell's in a bad spot and try to help that man out.
Yeah, I don't know if they can use it much now. I think most of the league, I mean, I guess you can still do it, but mine was the Felipe Franks quarterback sneak or tight end sneak, whatever you want to call it, because I don't know how much, you know, it's obviously not unknown now. But they used it once successfully for a first down. They used it the second time to successfully get the first down because you got them to jump.
I think you can use it plenty. I don't think it – like a quarterback sneak's just a quarterback sneak, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't usually hide it when you're in a quarterback sneak.
But they did, though. They used it. The disguise was they're in the pistol.
Yeah.
And Franks goes in motion, and as he goes in motion, he just stops under Newsle's little butt there and puts his hands in there and goes, hut!
I guess my point is that for whatever reason, and I might be wrong, but I trust Felipe Franks on the quarterback sneak more than I do Michael Penix for the same reason that I would trust Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts more on a quarterback sneak.
I feel more comfortable with Felipe Franks mainly because, you know, those are dangerous. I think quarterback sneaks can be dangerous plays at times.
Yeah, I agree.
And
And regardless of what Nick Sirianni wants to tell me.
Or Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
And Lurie, is that the owner? I mean, whatever. I don't want to talk about those guys. They've lost two in a row. We've won two in a row. Let's talk about us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I love the – that's creativity. So let's stop with the – I don't see – I think we saw a lot of creativity the last 2 weeks from this offense and from the offensive coordinator. You know, Bijan Robinson is the best player in football right now. He's playing like
Agreed.
An MVP. Mm-hmm. You know, dude, he's – I mean – just what he's doing already. Hey, I had 238 yards from scrimmage last night, and he's got 822 yards from scrimmage in five games.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. It's historic, and obviously you love the fact that it was on the primetime stage last night. We do got to get the phone lines, 404-726-0929, if you want to weigh in on last night's game. What was your favorite play? Or just tell us about the vibes, because right now they're immaculate. Full phone lines, shocker. It is a Falcons victory Tuesday, and obviously we're loving life right here. Bo and I have got about, I don't know, 3-4 hours sleep last night on the old air mattresses, but I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, my friend. I don't want anybody else sitting in this chair today.
Mike and I did a trade-off. He got my air mattress ready for me when I got here.
I did.
And I took an extra chicken Chick-fil-A sandwich from the press box for him. This says take one. So I walk to the first spot and I take one, and I will kind of look confused for a second, like I'm looking for condiments, and I grab a second one and then scurry away.
Is this the play where I wander down the field and act like
I'm lost? Yeah, I did the Billy Bob. Oh, where do I go now?
Hey, man. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's try to keep it quick, guys. Let's bro through these. We got full phone lines. Hey, let's try to get to Chris in College Park, man. Start us off. What's going on, buddy?
The vibes are high.
Yes, sir. Hey, love it.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, I'm glad all that Cheetos and cranberry didn't go to waste last night. We had a ball. I'm going to get right to it, everybody. First of all, shout out to the coaching staff. We came out of a bye week ready to play. That's been a sticking point with me the past few years. Falcons came out ready to play. Bijan, I can't wait till the end of the year because he may be 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. To the defense, you hold Buffalo Bills to 14 points with those turnovers and sacks, you guys can pat yourself on the back. And my favorite play, and you touched on it, Big Mike, with all of us, including me, who wondered why in God's name we had our number one draft pick this year on the kickoff team, you saw it last night.
Ooh.
Go Falcons, hashtag Squid Nation, hashtag Squid Squad.
Love to hear it, love to hear it. That was a great play. Obviously, Jalen Walker on coverage unit says a lot about Jalen Walker, the person and the player. Let's go back to the phone lines very quickly. Let's get to Josh over in Lawrenceville. Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, team. Hey, I saw a reincarnated version of the Grit Splits last night, and I absolutely loved it. My favorite play of the game, though, was sometimes you've got to be lucky. And that 3rd-and-1 when Buffalo had momentum in the second half, when they fumbled and brought him back like 4 yards, that was absolutely huge.
That's
great
a good
win.
Call.
And when did we consistently stop the mobile quarterback?
Yeah,
last night was big, and we're turning the corner, I think.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, Josh.
Real quick,
it's a great call.
You've done it in all three of your wins. You did it against Washington, you did it against Buffalo, and you did it against Minnesota because McCarthy's mobile. Those guys are mobile, and, you know, Baker Mayfield is shifty, and he makes plays in the pocket that it's Josh Allen-esque as far as he's shifty, but it's different. Ben Roethlisberger's different. It's just different the way he does things.
The scramble that he had this weekend was insane.
Sally won the Heisman.
Insane.
Sally won the Heisman.
Crazy to look at. All right, let's go. Hey, let's talk to our buddy Larry over in the truck. Larry, what's going on, man? Hope you're having a good day.
I'm having a good day, and my favorite song today is Nothing But a G-Thing, Baby. It's all the way live with Georgia today, with the Hawks winning last night, and then the Falcons. And look, the best thing about it all was I couldn't wait to get here once I found out we won because I had to go to bed early. But once I found out we won, I couldn't wait to get here to listen to you guys with all the energy I knew you were going to bring today. So I've been enjoying that, you know. All
go.
Morning, obviously. I'm out here doing my thing.
Appreciate
y'all have
you.
A great day.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate you, Larry.
Checks in the mail, as always.
Yeah,
man.
Love
always
that.
Always appreciate the vibes. Hey, let's quickly, let's go back to the phone lines. Dylan, let's talk to Kevin, the limo driver. Kevin, I hope drop-off line was good this morning, man.
Drop off line was smooth this morning, but we got dirty in the South last night. That defense was a beast. That running game was a beast. I'm telling you, defense like wins championships, offense sells tickets, but that defense and that running game travels well. People in the NFL, so I'm looking for it. And they're just scratching the surface. They're really not even where they're going to be yet. That defense is still unfolding. This defense is possibly by the end of the year, maybe historic numbers for the Falcons. So go, Dirty Birds! Yeah!
Let's go, man. Rise up. Appreciate the phone call.
Real quick, Mike, I think he's got a good point about the defense is not near.
Yeah, I think
it's fair. They're still blown coverages. Xavier Watts and Jesse Bates are still getting on at times that what they're seeing and making sure they're seeing the right thing. I think Pearson and Walker are just now scratching the surface of what they can do. They're making plays, some of which not on the stat sheet. They're going to become on the stat sheet sooner than later.
I completely agree with you. Let's try to squeeze one more call in here. Speaking of drop-off line, what's going on, Anthony? Anthony, we got about 20 seconds, man. Let her eat.
Hey, mother, ha, ha, ha. Falcons Victory Tuesday. Falcons Victory Tuesday. I talked about it. Bijan needed 20 carries. Tyler Allgeier needed 10. The defensive line rushed as a unit together, and that's how you get dubs. It's a great Falcons Tuesday win. We love you guys. This is absolutely amazing. All those bandwagon fans, stay where y'all at. Real Falcons, we rise up!
Phenomenal. Phenomenal phone call by Anthony, man. That's a great way to close out the wake-up call. Thank you guys so much for weighing in.
We so appreciate it. And you can also join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. That's your first chance to call in and react to every Falcons game. Brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. It's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, former Falcons QB and now analyst for the for the Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer will join us to get in on this Falcons win. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen, straight drop, bodies around him. He'll throw, and it's intercepted by D. Alford with 7 seconds left to go. Allen is picked by D. Alford.
We are the Morning Shift. Thanks for being here on a Victory Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and we are welcoming in former Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave Archer is joining us. Our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, it was an awesome win for the Falcons last night, and you and Bo get to go back, talk to the guys after the game. What was the energy like in that locker room after they took down Buffalo?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, Allie. You know, I've been in a lot of locker rooms, and I think you try to, at this time of year, you try to temper, you know, too much exuberance over one particular win, because as Mike will tell you, it's a long road, and we've got, you know, another, 13 games to go, or 12 games to go. But I thought there was a little bit more in this one. I think that they realized that this is a really good opponent they were playing. This is a team that a lot of people think is going to be in that Final Four, potentially go to the Super Bowl on the AFC side. Obviously, defending MVP of the league. There was a lot to it, and I think that they were challenged dramatically on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive side of the ball against Josh Allen. I think that, and they checked a lot of boxes last night, and so I thought that the excitement in the locker room matched that. I think they were proud of themselves, and they should have been. It was a heck of an effort.
Well, there's a lot to get into, Arch. How you know you can get off the field at the end of the game and not allow that game to be extended. How you had the nice, you know, 4-minute offense where you drained a lot of clock. But you talked to us in pregame, and you said that Jeff Ulbrich wasn't going to sit back. That he was gonna bring pressure. I think the number was like 56% of the time they got pressure against Josh Allen or brought it. But how were they able to bring pressure and still be able to cover in the back end? How were they able to take an MVP and make him look pedestrian last night?
Well, I think that, you know, Bo, that, you know, first of all, you gotta practice it. You know, this is something they'd worked on in training camp. I think there were a lot of things that, you know, the layman, when you go out and watch practice, that you don't pick up on or don't see that they're working on to get ready for the regular season. They're not going to show in preseason what they're going to do in the regular season, but throughout practices in training camp, they were working on pressure looks. They were working on coming up and playing bump coverage and playing man coverage in the back end. So this wasn't their first exposure to say, hey, all of a sudden we're going to bring 5- and 6-man pressures and we're going to play man coverage in the back end, adapt to it. They had practiced and gotten ready for it. So they had been sprinkling some of this in throughout the first 4 games. And so when it came time to show their teeth a little bit here, they were able to do it, and they had practiced it and felt comfortable with it. Now, we saw some of the problems that exist when you do this. You were flagged several times for defensive holding. I think A.J. Terrell was flagged twice. Because you're trying to sticky coverage or plaster coverage in the back end, when you got a guy like Josh Allen, he's going to extend plays, and he did last night. And that's going to make the DBs have to hold on, if you will, so to speak. And they did hold on, and we got some penalties that extended drives. So it wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they played to their personality, which I thought was cool. A lot of times offenses dictate to defenses, especially if you're scared about who you are and what you're going to do. And Atlanta did not bow down at all. They stuck to what they wanted to do. Ulbrich told them in meetings, hey, Josh Allen's going to make plays. We got to keep playing, because we're going to get ours. And that's exactly what they did. This is 5 times in a row they've held their opponent under 300 yards. You got to go back to the 98 team, guys. You got to go all the way back to 98. We know what that team did in 1998. That's the last time Atlanta's held 5 consecutive opponents under 300 yards.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. I want to stay right there with Arch, because you look at the third down percentage for Buffalo. It's been a focus, I think, of a lot of Falcons fans. Last night, Buffalo only 2 of 9 on third down. And you know, I'll go back and I'll take it all the way back to 2016. The buy-in from this defense. Last night, we're in the postgame. Grant McCauley asked me, you know, what is it that makes this Falcons defense so good? I don't think there's any one player or one thing. I think they're all bought in. And I think you have finally developed depth at these spots, specifically there in the front seven. And you've hit home runs on signing guys like Divine Diablo and Leonard Floyd and all these other pieces. I just feel like everybody is flying around like their hair is on fire on this defense. And I was not sure at the beginning of the year we'd see this. But, man, I am so happy that we are right now.
Yeah, Mike, it's such a good point. And I think you're dead on. And I thought that there was something very illuminating to what Caden Ellis said to us. And you guys interviewed him in training camp. You asked him, what is it about this Ulbrich defense that you like so much? And he says, we don't have to think a ton. He says, you go here and that's where I go. And there's not all this reading and reacting. They're just going and they're playing their game and they're making the offense have to react to them. That's a pretty cool place to be defensively.
Arch joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, look, I want to get to Bijan, but at first I want to talk about the offensive play caller here, who we always hear about this creativity. You know, from the touchdown run that Algier had and the formation and the play there, to Felipe Franks going in motion and getting the tight end sneak there. What do you think about the game that Zach Robinson called and some of the things that he showed this defense that they hadn't seen before?
Yeah, I thought it's always cool to come up with the unscouted looks and stuff. A lot of guys like to have fun with that term, but it is a piece of the game and the data that help you win games, potentially keep people off balance. And so there were some looks that they hadn't shown. What stuck out to me, Bo, more than maybe the little nuances that they came with, was how aggressive he stayed at the end of the game. Four of his first five plays in that final drive, you mentioned the four-minute offense, you threw the football. You're trying to kill the clock. He realized that Buffalo was doing everything they could to gang up and stop the run. They were struggling mightily throughout the game to get the run game stopped, and he came out throwing the ball, got the ball to Bijan Robinson on the outside, on the perimeter, got the ball to Drake. I thought that was more telling about a play caller than maybe coming up with some of these nuances where, you know, you run a reverse and you toss it to a guy or and it was cool. Felipe comes in, gets you a first down, different way of doing it, something somebody's going to have to prepare for. But I thought the aggressiveness and how, again, he stayed true to who they want to be. They want to attack, and they got the ball in their best two players' hands late in the game to help them seal the game.
Arch, I want to take a minute, too, to talk about Dee Alford. I know we've talked about this defense, the interception, obviously, but you had a chance to visit with him after the game. He talked about his film study. I could not be a bigger fan of where he's at in his career right now. And it wasn't only fans that were upset with him last year. You see the Falcons go out, Terry Fontenot drafts Billy Bowman to come in here and compete at the nickel spot. He wins that job in camp. But I really don't know where this secondary would be right now without a guy like Dee Alford on the back end. He's playing at an exceptional level.
No, you're so right, Mike. And we're in an era now where when it gets tough, you run and go someplace else, right? We're seeing it in college football with guys transferring to different places. Hey, you're not paying me enough money. Or, hey, you brought a guy in to compete with me. I don't want to do that. I'm going to go someplace else. Dee doubled down on himself. He was an outstanding player in the Canadian League, played in a championship team up there, came down here, did some really good stuff his first year here. Last year was exposed to that nickel spot. If you go back and look, he was like third or fourth on the team in tackles, had 80 tackles last year at the nickel spot, did a lot of good stuff, but struggled a little bit late in the year. People touched him up a little bit late in the year. And what did he do? He didn't go, you know, tuck himself into a corner or tuck his tail between his legs. He went and tried to get better. He worked on his game. I mean, how many different guys have we done that? And you start talking about culture of teams and how they individually handle their business. Think about what Casey Washington did in the offseason. Didn't get to play as much as he wanted to his first year. Felt like that he had more to give. So what did he do? He went and worked his rear end off and got him ready to play. And here he is. He potentially is going to be one of your two or three receivers on the field on every snap. And Dee Alford is the same way. He didn't tuck his tail between his legs because Billy Bowman was coming in. He said, hey, I'm going to be able to play corner. Think about the versatility. Played corner for 2 weeks while AJ was out with the hamstring, and then shifts gears and goes back inside with Billy down to play the nickel spot. Those are the kind of guys you want to surround yourself with.
Speaking of guys you want to surround yourself with, Arch, Drake, not Mike Johnson, but Drake London, Michael Penix, and Bijan Robinson. I said earlier, they're not just special on the field. They're special in that locker room and as human beings. But specifically, Bijan and Drake London, they just showed the world like that they are both top-tier players of position. And Bijan Robinson is having an MVP year. I mean, we saw everyone talk about how great Saquon was last year. I think Bijan has started better this year than Saquon did last year.
Yeah, he's incredible, Bo. And it's fun. It's a privilege to be able to sit and call his games and talk about just the brilliance that he brings to the table in so many different areas. One being a teammate and a leader. He says the post-game prayer for everybody. They all come around him. He's just that guy. Not only is he a phenomenal player, a lot of times you don't see the glue guys that keep teams together. Mike knows what I'm talking about. These guys that do some of the dirty work, they're not normally your star. But this guy, that's who this guy is. He's a glue guy, and he's your star on your team. So it's so fun to be around him and be able to call his games and just be around the person that he is. Drake London, he's a dog now. You want to start talking about a guy that, you know, when you see somebody, there's a mix-up, one of his teammates is getting pushed around. Drake London is the guy that comes. It's not a defensive lineman, not an offensive lineman. It's your number one wide receiver that's in there face-to-face with the guy. He got in another little deal last night with somebody because he saw one of his guys get pushed down. He's not going to stand for it. Saw it happen last year when Pitts got kind of sideways with somebody. So love Drake London. Another stat for you real quick. You guys have probably read all the stats. This was a stat game to be all, but it's the second time in Falcon history where you've had a guy run for 100 yards –
a runner hunt for 150 yards and receive for 150 yards. And you know who the other two guys were that did that?
Not sure.
Bijan Robinson and Drake London.
How about that? He got
wow.
me.
Wow.
How about that? Those two guys are, so you guys talked about it, and you guys will continue to talk about it. You talk about two stars in Atlanta. Enjoy Atlanta fans, because you got two unbelievable players at those two positions.
Arch, one more thing before we let you go. I think that obviously Michael Penix did a lot of special things last night. I did think at times he got kind of locked in on Drake London. Mm-hmm. Obviously Ray Ray was not in the fold. Darnell's hurt. Have you been in that situation as a quarterback where maybe you get locked on a primary receiver? And what can Michael Penix do throughout this week to make sure that that's not happening again when he gets to San Francisco?
Yeah, that might be a little bit more of TJ and Zach getting with him in between series, Mike. I think that you can get locked on. I remember having really good receivers that, you know, you just trust them. You just know they're going to go get the ball, and you know they're going to take care of the ball, and you know they're going to, if it's in harm's way, they're going to bat it down. But sometimes they don't even get their hands on the ball. He was lucky to get away with the throw that he tried to make there late in the game, that slant in the slot. You know, Shaq Thompson sitting right on. He should have picked it off. That we got a bounce there. That was a break that should not have gone our way that did. So that's got to be something he learns from. We talked a little bit about it in postgame. I asked him about learning. You know, he may have said, I made some mistakes. He actually said that himself. I made some mistakes. I made some bad reads late in the game. That's him acknowledging that. And I think he's really good about that, that he's going to go back and study himself. That's the only way you get better with it. But in game, when you kind of are locked in some kind of groove, that's where you need, you know, T.J. Yates and potentially Zach Robinson to say, hey, let's design something that maybe specifically takes the ball away from Drake and gets the ball to somebody else to kind of get him thinking in another direction. It's always fun to work on those kind of things, Mike, when you win a game, not lose a game.
Yes, sir.
Well, and you got to appreciate the self-awareness that Michael Penix has. Mm. Dave, thanks for the time this morning. I know you probably had limited sleep like these two.
Well, I didn't sleep on an air mattress or, you know, watch video game, play video games in my office or anything like that. So.
Easy now.
Well, enjoy the win. We'll talk to you Friday.
Good job. Good talking to you guys. Y'all take care.
You too. That's Dave Archer, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Every time. This Friday, 92.9 is in Athens ahead of Saturday's big game between Georgia and Ole Miss. Join Dukes and Bell at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street for a special broadcast from 2 to 6 p.m. They'll have special guests and analysis, plus a preview of all the weekend's pro and college football action. That's Friday from 2 to 6 at Grindhouse on Lumpkin Street in Athens on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to tie a bow on our last thoughts of this amazing victory that the Falcons had, and we've got a life of squid.
Pun intended?
I see what you did there.
Very clever.
A wild double play in the NLCS, plus a Falcons stat we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, wow.
Next morning, it's just Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pistol again for Penix. It's first and 5 at the 19 after the penalty on the Bills. Buffalo adds another man to the front. They're going to hand to Robinson, right side, through the first wall, around the corner. Here goes Bijan Robinson. Keeps his feet. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. The math on this one is easy. 81 to the house.
Phenomenal touchdown there. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is 8:44. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Falcons 24-14 over a bamboozled Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Guys, what are your
That's
final?
Such a good word, dude.
I've been trying to use it
good
all morning.
For you. Oh, man. What a wordsmith.
I mean,
you and that husband of yours, man, he pulls out one every time we have a postgame show, and I'm like, good for you.
Is that not exactly what he
yes.
looked like last night when the interception happened, when Malone caught it? It's like the final catch, like, done.
It's such a good word because it's so good.
Yeah, but,
he was bamboozled.
But all I hear is Joey from Friends, you've been bamboozled, yeah. and he played the game.
Man, it's just it's a perfect puzzle piece fit when you look at it, because he was. And credit, and we've been talking about Jeff Ulbrich, this defensive front, the entire show, but they did such a good job of getting his face, and for whatever reason, and Bo, you brought this up earlier, so I'll give you credit, he just looked out of sorts, and I think you can blame a number of different things, and I'm sure that the national media will just focus on Buffalo and focus on Josh Allen, but here in Atlanta, we are celebrating because we forced him into that situation where he looked
bamboozled. We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Yes. Yes, that's how they feel waking up in Buffalo today.
Yeah.
And but again, I'm going to give credit to our defensive front getting in his face. I talked about Jalen Walker a minute ago. There were just, look, four sacks on a guy like Josh Allen, and you really limited his ability to escape the pocket and do too much damage with his legs. I thought it was just beautifully laid out. And he looked frustrated. He looked like he was forcing throws. He looked disconnected from where the offense was, and you know, that's the end result, is a big Falcons victory.
Well, and one of the first things you guys said this morning was like, oh, the film's in, so I know we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of everything that was actually going on, but now that it's fresh of your mind today, how are you feeling? Is there anything we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I don't want to go negative, but I am worried about the status of Jake Matthews, you know, leaving. I think – you got to give some credit to Terry Fontenot going to get Michael Jarrell. And I'm not sitting here and telling you that Michael Jarrell is going to step in and be an all-pro left tackle, depending on what the status is of Jake Matthews. But what I'm telling you is you had depth to come in and finish the game off. And look, Mikey said earlier, Zach helped him as well. You know, I think you should bring it up again, apparently, because I'm getting another tweet, is the sequence at the end of the first half, where a guy just hit me up and said, well, that's my only gripe, is you could have made a statement win if you would have handled the clock better and got a touchdown. You handle that right because of the situation. If you don't allow time to go off the clock there and you rush up and you don't get the first down, now Josh Allen has plenty of time. And guess what he doesn't do? Force the issue with a pass like he did in the middle of the field where D. Alford intercepts it. That was a forced play by Allen because the time was against them. They're trying to score and then get the ball back to start the second half, which they did, and then score again, different ball game.
Yeah.
So you had to handle that situation with Arch always calls it a yellow light. Like, if you get the first down, now you're full go and you're saving time. But they didn't get the first down there. They handled it right, and it worked out the right way because what you didn't want them to do, no matter what, was score, getting the ball to start the second half. And what did they do to start the second half, Mike?
They went down and scored.
Right down the field.
Yeah, they did. I want to go back for just 1 second. You talking about Michael Jarrell. I will be interested to see this week if we get any updates on Storm Norton. Mm-hmm. Because obviously Jake Matthews has been around, like you talked about, year 11, year 12, whatever it is. You know, he's just there. Like, we just take it for granted the fact that Jake Matthews is going to play left tackle. I was interested to see the fact that Michael Jarrell came in at left tackle. Remember, Elijah Wilkinson started a preseason game at left tackle.
Yeah.
Michael Jarrell has started games for the Seahawks at right tackle. So when they were flip-flopped coming in the game yesterday, I thought, okay, makes sense. Maybe it's one of those situations where you don't want to weaken two different positions by flip-flopping the guys in the middle of the game. You know, rely on Elijah Wilkinson a little bit more. I thought they did a good job of that. But Storm Norton is, you know, in that window of coming back from the IR and possibly getting healthy. I don't know if that means he would play right tackle or left tackle or whatever else it may be, but I thought Michael Jarrell showed a little athleticism, and maybe given a week to prepare, he can kind of slide into that role. But that's a carousel at the tackle position right now that I'll be keeping an eye on throughout the week to see who kind of fits where.
And I feel better, Mike, about it. I'm not saying I feel great because I think San Francisco still got a very solid defense on the field. You saw they could get after you last week, what they did against Tampa, without Fred Warner and without Nick Bosa. Both those guys are out. Now, I'm not saying
those
I feel
great.
Guys are
all world players.
But and that's exactly it. I feel better without two all-world players out there than not. But, you know, that Bills defense has still got some guys that get it. They might have been giving up big runs early in the season and obviously last night. But Ed Oliver coming back, Rousseau, Epinesa, and then Joey Bosa, they had a good front. And they were give the young player who I think you and I talked about him quite a bit and watched film, Deion Walker last night.
Yeah.
I think Deion Walker maybe had four tackles for loss in the second half. Yeah. I got tired of pointing at his freaking slot on my card to Wes to call his name for making plays in the backfield.
Yeah, I thought Javon Solomon, the second year player out of Troy, number 56, I thought he had a pretty good night too. They asked him to do a couple of different roles as well, man. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to go with it as we build towards this weekend, another primetime game. We'll have the air mattresses out, mm-hmm. you know, obviously Sunday night. But the vibes are just high. I mean, that's the only thing you can say to, like you said, put a bow on it, is that it just feels good to be, you know, victorious today after such a big matchup in primetime last night.
24-14, say it all day long. And I want to remind you that you can get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, presented by Finley Roofing, is coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Right now is your chance to sign up. Go to 929thegame.com, click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going quickly. It's the third annual Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th.
Sign up for the Brown Grass, as Allie just told you. Let's go. It's look, they're starting to tick away the spots, and we want to see you out there. You know, maybe go against Mike and I in golf. Allie might get to, you know, hang out with you and see you. You're going to be riding around the golf cart. Mm-hmm. And all of our personalities are going to be there. So I don't know what you're waiting on.
I think we're going to have to start giving the word foursomes the analyst treatment. You know what I mean?
Foursomes.
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 What?
Well, if you say foursomes right now, that'll make our foursomes a foursome.
Foursomes.
With our foursomes combined.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I tease two things. Real quick, I'll talk about this because I want to end on a really good Falcons stat. Wild. Max Muncy hits what should have been a grand slam. It's caromed back in off the glove of the center fielder. Then it taps the wall. He throws it in. They get it to home. Tap out home. They catch, and it was Wild Bill runs down the third baseline and touches
crazy
for the force play. Absolutely wild. It's such a weird play that you don't ever see the way it worked out. One of the wildest double plays you'll ever see.
Yeah,
Is it 8-2?
I was going to say, no, there was a cutoff man at some point.
Okay.
And so there was, I can't remember who
it
was.
So like 8-6-2 or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, there was an 8-5-2, something like that. I cannot tell you how giddy Grant was last night when I showed up for the post-game show. When I got back from Mercedes-Benz and I walked in the studio, Grant goes, "Wait till you see this double play." I was like, I can't wait, man. I can see the excitement in your eyes.
It
was crazy.
But there's a Falcon set I want to get to before we get out of here. We got like a minute. Man, we'll go over. Steak can wait. The Bills had two plays last night. I call an explosive play anything 20 yards or longer, which I think that is what the league calls it. They had two. The 45-yard pass to open the game, to Palmer, and then a 24-yard scramble by Josh Allen, which was like that last drive.
Yeah.
How many did take a guess? How many did the Falcons have?
Explosive plays?
20 yards or more. How many do you think the Falcons
have?
Well,
I was going to say, I think the NFL has different ones for passing and for rushing, but I would say 8. I'm going to go. I'm
going to
be aggressive. Okay, I was right there. I was right there.
9. They had an 81, a 39, a 26, 23, 23, 22, 21, 20, 20. Of the 10 longest plays for the Falcons, they had one that wasn't 20 yards or more, and that was an 11-yard run by John. The Bills had obviously 10 longest plays as well. Anywhere from 19 to 10. But that was a huge part of this game. I mean, we talked about explosives, and the one thing I said is I love explosives. We did a great job against Washington. I need a house call on one of them. Mm-hmm. I need one of them to be a house call just to fire up the building, to get points immediately on the board, to get the momentum swing. And Bijan gave it to us to get it to 21-7, and we seemingly never looked back.
Yeah, it was one of his goals coming into the season that we talked about throughout preseason. He was like, I want to start hitting more home runs. I think his previous career long was 38 before that run last night, so good job by him.
Well, we got to roll. That is going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
keep feeling the vibes, ATL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.